Hello, listeners, and welcome to episode 1 of the Immortal Bastion. Figures in the Fog. Part 1. Welcome, everyone, to episode 1 of the Immortal Bastion. Today, we are starting in Shipper's Haven, and we will be within the Great Port. The area is very hustle and bustle. There are, like, voices and sounds everywhere. Pretty much everywhere. It's very loud. Very city-like. We are starting at one of the larger ships, where we see a line of people just kind of walking about, trying to get on the ship, preparing to go somewhere. As we get closer to the line before the ships, we see a character with some odd coloring in his hair and some freaky looking eyes. Matt, you wanna describe your character for us?
So Talion Moore is a tallish kind of guy, like 5'10" or something, and he's got his hair is like pulled back. It's kind of long and curly, but it's just like to his shoulders, and he has two braids of platinum blonde coming down in front, tied together with some like blue leather ties. He also has some platinum growing out in the roots of his hair, but the rest of his hair is dyed sort of a almost black brown. His eyes are just like a very vibrant, pale blue, sort of a sky blue, and they glow faintly, which you can't tell super well in the light, but and then he's also wearing just like a plain white sort of off-white tank top, a pleated half skirt thing, and some boots and some pants, and over top he's got this trench coat.
So we see this strange looking man named Talion waiting in line to board the ship to, well, search for his uncle. He had asked around the city and no one had really seen him. This was one of the last ditch efforts. He had nicked the required funds from a few passersby as the line shortens and he reaches the shipment. Coins.
He just hands over he takes out a couple different like wallets he'd taken and dumps out a couple coins from each of them and hands them over.
The shipman's gonna like pick it up and he's gonna like, before he wasn't paying that much attention because you're just another one of these people. And then he's gonna kind of, like, look down at you, because he's a very burly man. What's wrong with your eyes? This ship is strictly forbidden to freaks. Get lost, kid.
I have albinism. You can tell from my hair color. I paid for it.
Roll deception. And right after that deception roll, give me an insight.
Deception? Okay, that's a 11 deception.
He doesn't buy it. He doesn't like you. He's not like you.
What's 26?
26. Okay, well, so he says, as you try to convince him of your albinism, who are you kidding, kid? You don't get your way that easy. And then your insight tells you that something is very wrong here. Very, very wrong. These people around you need to get out. They need to run. So now what do you do?
Oh, I'm gonna shout, do you think I would have maybe, like, a match or something on me?
Sure. Yeah, we'll see how
okay.
much. Okay. Streets.
I'm gonna try to drop a match and convince everyone that there's a fire happening.
Okay. Roll persuasion.
Okay. Okay, that's a 19.
Okay, so a few people are gonna actually look at you and be like, oh, really? Okay. Okay. And they're just gonna, like, panic and jump into the water.
Oh my god, a fire!
Place. Yeah, like that. Pretty much that exactly. But a lot of other people around you are just gonna look at you as a street urchin and be like, oh, sure. Yeah. The shipment is gonna look at you again and be like, really? I don't know what you think you're doing here, but you need to go. You need to scram. So people aren't really taking you seriously. So as you're standing there, you're gonna hear a crackle, a little bit of a sizzle, and then a flash. So the ship in front of you is going to explode.
Oh, cool.
And cool. Yeah. The people on it are going to fly outwards. And you are going to be blown back on, like, now laying on your back as more, like, buildings around you begin to burn. And things catch a flame. And now the entire city is being filled with guards. The city begins to swarm with people in dark black armor. And someone stands ahead of them who appears to be one of the nobles. As people are screaming and running and fleeing the scene, the noble just says a simple phrase that the knights all immediately take, like, they take so seriously, and it's a problem. You just simply hear from the noble, round them all up. So you see all these soldiers just swarm the city, and they start taking anyone who looks slightly different. People with weird hair, anyone that looked even slightly abnormal was either knocked out or killed on the spot. There is just total chaos as people run and flee. And you are still laying on the ground as your ears are ringing. Although you can still see through the smoky haze that is Shipper's Haven, a strangely tall woman with some grayed out hair being approached by two soldiers. Cora, why don't you introduce us to Marshall?
Okay. Marshall is a strangely tall woman. It's actually a little bit silly. I also made her 5'10", and she has sort of a 1-inch heel on her boot because she's silly like that. She has burn marks on one side of her face and a scar over her eye, which is discolored white. And though under that her skin is a bit tanner, she has some freckles. She's very obviously been outside in the wilderness. That's her thing. And she's dressed in sort of outerwear with very, very roughed up, like, sturdy clothes and coverings, like a neck scarf, which she's using to cover her face, goggles, a hat, a cloak. Well, not really a cloak. I forgot what it's called. It's sort of like a cloak. I don't know how to explain it. And a six shooter on her hip.
So as we are now in Marshall's POV, sort of, the soldiers kind of walk up to you, or less walk, more just run, and they're going to immediately try to, like, grab you. Quick flashback over, we're now in Talion's POV again. So as you see these soldiers run up, and you think this lady is about to get snatched up and something. You see Marshall as, like, they run up to her. put a foot out on the against their armor, and they just stop. And she leans back and takes a drink of whatever is in this bottle. You assume it's alcohol. And kind of hold a finger up, asking them to, like, hold on a second. And so she turns the bottle up, and you can see the liquid slowly, like, empty out of it. And with a crash, the bottle shatters on the ground. The woman leaps off the chair and pulls out a very strange contraption to you. With two very loud bangs, it fires and metal clangs against the soldier's armor. They stagger backwards and kind of fall over. Three more soldiers run up and knock the weapon out of her hand. And pretty much, like, try to grab her arms. Talion, can you give me a acrobatics check?
Ooh, okay. 13.
That'll do. So, you're gonna kind of, like, put... That's kind of a weird one, but you kind of push yourself off the ground for a second. But your eyes glow a little brighter than usual. And you kind of gesture outward with your hands. And a kind of, like, switching to Marshall's POV. Marshall, you're gonna hear a, like, strange buzzing sound. And then through the smoke, kind of small lights appear, kind of like the dancing light spell, and it's going to surround the men and kind of just, like, stun them.
What in tarnation?
Polly, you have no idea what just happened. And then, so, the woman, Marshall, takes this opportunity to sweep the leg of the men and kind of just plunge her knife right in between the parts of their armor. She takes a moment, and you notice the now glowing dots through the smoke and where they came from. And you see a guy just kind of barely off the ground, kind of stumble over, and you can go over there and try to talk to him or see what just happened, or what? Go ahead, do something. What do you want to do? What do either of you want to do? Now you're both here.
Well, I don't know what the hell you just did, but thanks, I guess.
I don't know what the hell I just did either. Who are you? What's that?
I'm Marshall. I had picked the six shooter up off the ground. It's just, you know, my little buddy. Nothing to worry about.
My little buddy.
Right.
So, Tali, you were still on the ground at this point. You weren't, like... I get up.
Yeah, I'll get up.
Your hand?
Okay. Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, so Marshall, like, reaches down to grab Tali's hand, and as soon as they make contact, they, like, you both feel a surge of energy, and they're in your minds, you kind of see a very bright light being overclouded by darkness.
What the hell? Is that God?
Yeah. God.
What just happened? Did you see what I just saw?
If you saw a very bright light and it was like darkness.
Is that the devil? I don't know.
I don't know either. What did...
Yeah, bright light? Darkness?
Sure.
Yeah.
Is it like from a book?
I wonder. Must be a prophecy.
I want to throw out here, the city is still on fire, and there's still soldiers running around everywhere.
We should probably get out of here.
We should probably leave. You know what I need to do? I need to go find Bridge.
Ooh.
I gotta go find my friend. Come with me. You have a cool thing. A slingshot? Is that what that is?
Sure. Okay, I guess.
All right. And we're gonna go over to Bridget's.
Okay. Okay, so as you are running through the city, you just see everything is falling apart now.
Make sure to put my goggles on.
You manage to slip past some guards and stuff. As they are too distracted, you know, kidnapping and killing or whatever people. So we're going to come up to the shop of Bridget. You can see around the outside of the shop that there are various things up against the windows, and the shop's been kind of like fortified a little bit, and you just kind of know, oh yeah, okay, Bridget did this. This is a good sign. Although the outside has some dents in it, there's a little bit of broken glass everywhere, and there's some like ash marks where it looked like it was on fire for a minute there. So you're gonna knock on the door, which is very much so. Like, even as you knock against it, it's not moving. It is stuck there. And from the other side of the door, we're going to hear a very familiar voice.
Oh, shoot. Hello? Who is it? It's Tally, let me in. And there's a lot of, very frantic throwing of wood pieces and ripping off barricades to the door. She's, swearing slightly under her breath as she tries to remove all of the planks and stuff.
Okay, so as you hear all of these noises, and Marshall's just okay. The door swings open, and before you see your friend Bridget.
Okay, so right now, Bridget is a little bit of a mess. She's in her typical brown and tan worker's uniform that she wears every day. Her typically very styled and perfect hair is just around her head. She's pale, but not naturally. She just doesn't spend a lot of time outside, but she works with her hands. So she has tons of little scars up her arms and on her legs. She's covered in ash right now and a little bit of grease from frantically putting stuff up. Tally, what is going on? Why is everything on fire? I saw some of the bullies. They ran by, but I didn't know what to do. So I'm trying to not have my shop burned down. What happened?
You said you saw some of that? Where are they? Do you think they went back to... Oh, sorry, Marshall.
Oh, yeah, hi.
Bridget gives a little curtsy wave bow and frantically tries to fix her hair and brush dust off of her uniform. Marshall just waves a little bit. Yeah, howdy.
So, in this moment, as you guys are having your frantic conversation, you are going to hear a shuffle, and Bridget, you're gonna remember that you've left out a key detail just on complete accident. I need Tally and Marshall to roll investigation.
Oh, come on.
That's gonna be funny. That's really funny.
I'm
of you
so stupid.
That's a 5.
Dog, I don't know what it is.
So that's a 0.
Yay!
Well, okay. So, with that, you're gonna be like, okay, well, that was weird. Although you're gonna hear more shuffling, maybe a soft whimpering sound, kind of just sad.
Are a draft blown through here?
Or
it's just the wind.
From behind one of Bridget's counters, you're gonna see a little tuft of white hair just kind of sticking out the top. So
that's
you guys wanna do anything about that? The two of you who don't know what's happening.
I'm gonna just whisper to Bridget, what's over there?
So the little sound is gonna kind of stop because it's oh, they heard me. And it's you're gonna see a person just gonna stand up and just look very shy and weak and meager and very dirty. Very, very dirty. The clothes that you can tell they used to be white, but now they're a little less white. It's going to stand up, and if Irvine, you'd like to introduce yourself here.
I'm loving just these first, impressions. This is going so well. Irvine's kind of tall, a solid 6'5", and is extremely rumpled, as Kieran said. The once probably white pantsuit is like a pantsuit, very long kind of 1920s coat, and then the lacy shirt underneath. Their eyes are like, their pupils are kind of weird. They seem like stars, and they're very deep blue. And the eyelashes that they have don't look like eyelashes at all. They look more like petals, but you can't really tell whether or not it's a fashion statement or not. And then they have stark white hair.
You, Bridget, know that this person just kind of showed up and looked very much so worse for wear. You don't know much about why they're here, or where they're from, who they are, or really even what their name is, because right as they showed up, the explosion started. So go ahead and have your little interaction here.
Who the hell are you?
Yes, sorry. I did mention to, or forget to mention, there's kind of someone hiding out in my shop.
Yes.
This my is... No, I actually realized I don't know your name, so go ahead.
Irvine Monroe.
Monroe, okay.
Oh, all right.
Great, Irvine, Tally, this is my friend Tally. This is Tally's acquaintance, Marshall?
Yes.
Oh, and I'm Bridget.
Oh, okay, so as you all are enjoying your little talk here while the city around you burns, you're gonna hear, like, a lot of people. You're gonna hear a lot of people. It sounds like a kind of, like, marching, but not entirely. So, as you hear the sound of, like, metal clinging and, like, guards, you turn to realize that your door is still unlocked, and the guards are, like, actively approaching, and it's not a small group of them either.
Okay. Can I try to, like, re-barricade the door, or, like, grab the two of them and shut the door and try to put back up some of the protection?
Yeah, can I help?
Can I also help?
Yeah, so since you're all helping, I won't make you roll for anything. So you guys are gonna, like, throw up these fortifications very hastily as, like, the guards kind of run up and you hear the glass that wasn't broken is now broken. And the door is kind of, like, actively shaking instead. Unlike when Tally tried to open it, it's now, like, it's shuddering, and a lot of wood sounds are coming from the other side of it. You're gonna hear a soldier kind of shout something, but then you hear, like, three soldiers kind of run up, and you hear just the door start to splinter, and the door is gonna shake and shake for, like, it's gonna take three loud bangs, roughly, before that door breaks down. So in front of you now stand a platoon of soldiers, and they kind of look around all of you and think you all look very strange. And you are gonna have to go with them. I need everyone involved currently to make a constitution roll.
It's
17. Great. 17.
Is it a saving throw or just, like...
No.
No?
No.
Why'd you say it like that?
9.
16.
It's the same thing, honestly.
I also got a 16.
Okay, so...
My shop.
Most of you, all of you but Tally, are gonna just kind of feel something well up inside of you. Marshall, you are the most okay right now. The other three of you, though, Tally specifically, kind of fails. And Monroe, your hands are going to begin to glow a very bright blue.
Because I'm wearing gloves, like, constantly.
Kind of, Oh, it's going through the gloves.
What the hell?
You feel like you feel warmth on your palms, and it's kind of weird as it glows this like bright. It's like it's a bright light, but it's a dark blue.
Okay, and am I familiar with this?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. But then your eyes start to glow very bright. And then, Bridget, you are going to feel a warmth instead on your back. And you're, like, through your outfit, you also see a glowing, but it's a, like, a green. It's like a dark green glow in a particular, and you can feel the warmth in like a particular shape. And then, Callie, your eyes are gonna glow, and you like the digital like that you have on your neck is going to glow as well. So as everything begins to glow, Bridget, your hands are going to feel a, like, burst of warmth, and you're going to see, like, all of you involved currently, you're going to see a, like, the ground is going to shake and shudder, and you're going to hear a metallic, like, screeching sound, like metal scratching against something, and from parts of, like, various parts of machines that Bridget has built around, kind of, like, vines are gonna come out of the machines, and they look very sharp, because they are not just vines, they are vines made of metal. The metallic vines are gonna, like, shoot out of the machines, travel along the ground, and kind of, like, pull, like, grab these soldiers and pull them under, and through, like, you just see soldiers be plucked down into the ground. And then, Monroe, you're gonna just, like, you kind of know what's happening, but not, you've never seen other people have this happen before, so that's weird. So, a very large storm cloud is gonna kind of appear, and it's gonna just start to rain. And it rains. And it rains. And it's just like pouring rain at this point. As soldiers are like, just, they're like, how do I put this? They're kind of falling, but they're falling in a way that there's nothing to fall into. There's just water on the ground. So, Tali, before you can even do anything, unfortunately, a sound just kind of rings out, and you all feel an overwhelming sense of calm, and you're just like, oh, okay. You all start to feel a little happier, and outside, you just hear the strumming of a lute kind of approach you, and a jingling of some bells. And the soldiers that are left are just kind of standing passively. And you see a hairy creature just kind of standing out there. Loco, you want to be a little...
Okay, hi. Okay. Okay, Loco is approximately 5'11 with bright ginger hair. It's kind of like medium length, but it's like put up right now, so it looks fairly short. And he has some pretty scraggly facial hair, but his most prominent feature would be his like mutton chops or like sideburns, I guess. And they're decked head to toe in like clowner jester attire, and they're like all sorts of different colors, like green, red, white, blue, yellow, with some poorly done clown makeup on. Also, his dogs are out, and he has like bells, like just all over his person. He's a little bit of a freak.
A little bit of a freak. So as there's just like some soldiers are now like there's like hands that's just kind of poked out of the ground like they're trying to get out, but they're not moving. Some soldiers have just completely disappeared, unless they fell into puddles of water, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense, at least to most of you. And this guy, he's just standing out there. He looks oddly happy, considering that the city around you is on fire.
Hello?
Hi there!
Howdy. Hello. What just happened? Y'all just turn into nightlights and then people start falling into the shadow realm?
I don't know. I mean,
the vines. I didn't even mention the vines.
Well, you guys can worry some sort. You all seem awfully trenched with woe and heartbreak and tragedy. But what you really need to do is have a positive outlook on life. And I, Loco, the traveling entertainer, am here to help you do just that.
They just destroyed my shop.
Well, look at it
right now. Thank you.
There is a positive outlook.
The city is kind of destroyed too.
My shop.
And you know what they say: out with the old, in with the new. You can build a new and better, brighter shop.
Okay, they don't say that about a whole city.
Yeah, they do.
You talk to weird people, then. You're so. I'm sorry to say, you're so strange. What do you want?
I get that a lot.
I don't like you.
Thank you.
Okay, so I want to throw in at this point, for Monroe and Tally. Here's a little fun little tidbit. Tally, you have never seen other people glow like you. That's weird. That's never happened before. You also notice that the strings on Loco's loot is kind of glowy, and so are the eyes. All of their eyes were kind of glowy, and that's never happened before. You thought you were the only one that did that. Monroe, you've never seen other people use magic kind of like this. It's just kind of strange, kind of weird, kind of whack. I'll let you continue interacting here.
Why don't I get to be a glow stick?
Oh, I don't know. Why is everybody a glow stick all of a sudden?
I can tell you.
You can.
Please do.
Hello.
Come on.
Please speak.
Come on, buddy.
Please explain. Somebody talk.
Well, I mean, the glowy thing just kind of happens, you know, on occasion when I, really get into my groove. But, you know, it's just natural or unnatural.
It's not a good explanation.
Okay.
I've had glowy eyes for, groove.
I don't know what I was expecting from a man with no shoes.
That's true.
He doesn't have to be Earth. So crazy.
Mother Nature.
The city's on fire. You don't have shoes on. Oh, my goodness.
And?
It's not Mother Nature that's
making
you.
Are you worried you're going to step on glass or something?
Not really.
We all look down at the destroyed shop and glass around us.
There is wet glass everywhere.
My feet are still pristine, and they are not covered in glass. You just got to look where you're stepping.
What are your calluses made of? Fucking steel?
No, I just have really good, what's the word? Balance.
Okay,
no,
this is not
balance.
The right problem to be focusing on right now. What is going on in the city? That's what I'm curious about.
Something exploded.
I'm so curious about that as well.
I was just having a drink. Before? I don't know.
Did you see anything? A boat exploded.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah, I would explain it.
Yeah, since there was something gonna happen, and then I tried to get people to run, and then the boat exploded, and then the people with the guards with the black armor just all rushed in and started killing people who looked weird, and of course I look weird, so I immediately had to come to you.
Oh, that's what they were doing. I thought they were just attacking me for no reason.
What about you? And I point at Irvine. You showed up, and I'm always happy to have people in my shop, and I'm always happy to help, but could you kind of explain where you came from?
Irvine just kind of looks at you for a hot-ass second, just and then kind of shrugs and then turns around and starts stomping the, remaining hands into the puddles and just goes around doing that while y'all talk.
You seem very nonchalant about all this.
What the hell does that mean? I love their attitude.
I don't want anything from the jester outside.
Why not?
You only explaining and motivational posters.
Well, I mean, what's the meaning of life without some good motivation? Am I right or am I right?
I mean, mind over matter does help, I suppose.
Exactly. See? Cowboy lady gets it.
So
I have a dozen kids I need to check on.
Yeah.
You're a dad?
You have boys.
Kids. There's children.
Way too young for that.
Oh, right.
Really quickly, I want to throw out there. Loco, something's different. Something's wrong. Something's weird. These people around you are not, like, freaking out with, like, joy. They are not as happy as people are when they meet you.
Yeah. That is a little bit concerning.
But you kind of write it off as most of them are just kind of really sad. So, Tally, like you said, as you say that you have, like, a bunch of kids you need to go check on, you're gonna get another vision of, like, soldiers running past the alley that you usually hang out in. So you guys didn't see anything. It was just Tally.
Okay, I'm going to turn to Bridget, and I'm gonna go, can you come with me? I mean, you don't have anything here. We need to go to the alley. We need to make sure they're all safe.
Yes, I'll come with you. She turns around, grabs her tool belt, puts it on under her skirt, and is like, okay, let's go see the boys.
What? The what? You have a kid? What?
I don't have kids?
That's what I'm saying.
That's weird. I don't
have kids.
You look young for
I'm
that.
I'm 19.
I'm 17.
Not that I'm judging. I don't judge. But
God,
what
no,
do you mean the boys? What's
the,
happening?
A group of orphans.
Oh, okay, that makes
orphans.
Sense.
Orphans! Yeah. I used to be one of the little ones. I grew up, so now I have to take care of the little ones.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah. Got it.
That makes a lot more sense.
I agree.
Alright, and we're gonna move out.
Okay, so we're all moving out. So, as you guys kind of, like, set through the city, you, like, everything around you just seems to be very much so on fire. And if it's not on fire, it was on fire. And it's just kind of, you find what's left of things. The once great port is now just a smoldering memory. As you guys kind of come to the alleyway that Tally and Bridget just kind of stop at, you kind of go in and you see there's kind of little pools of blood in some places, but there's, on the wall, Tally, you're gonna see a, like, silhouette of a mole, and you're gonna know that this means that someone must have gotten out. Someone must have escaped. Because you don't see anyone else here. There's no bodies, there's nothing. So, someone must have gotten out. Someone was here, but they're not anymore. This is where you're gonna remember that there's a certain area that the Unders had constructed a while ago that you guys hadn't used in a while, but it's there. So you guys, you're gonna remember that there is a place under the docks. It's kind of like a little base, little base of operations. But to get there, gotta go through the supers. And
okay.
This must be where they had to have escaped to or something.
I have no problem with going through the sewers. Let's do it.
Explain to them.
Oh, okay. They've escaped through the sewers. They're under the docks. We have a place. We haven't used it in a while, but we gotta get in there.
Okay.
I mean, there's blood, so somebody's gotta be injured, but I'm hoping it's the other guy.
Okay. Yeah. We should head down there. Make sure they're okay.
I agree. Let's make haste.
Oh, great.
Wait, we're going in the sewers?
Make
haste.
Well,
there's no other way to get down there.
Ew.
Oh.
Well, I guess.
Everything else is on fire.
I'm glad I didn't leave today.
So in this moment, you all kind of notice a look of total disgust on Monroe's face.
They just start shaking their head, like, that's not happening. Speaking of which, while I'm shaking my head, do I notice, like, is there still some water from the storm?
Yes.
Okay. Monroe just kind of says, I'll be close, and then goes and steps into the water and just disappears.
Oh.
So you guys are gonna watch Monroe walk over and say this, and then just like, it looks like they just stepped off a ledge, but they just went straight down.
Ooh, I want to try. I want to try. That looks like so much fun.
What just You're happened? Joking.
Oh, this cannot be happening.
Oh my god. This better be a nightmare.
I think you're right.
I think I ate the wrong thing, and now this is just a giant hallucination, or whatever they call it.
That's
hallucination.
Okay. Yeah, oh hallucination. God. What?
Hallucination, dear. It's called hallucination, dear.
Oh, I thought it was, I don't know my word.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, tomato, tomato.
It's the person who just disappeared in the water. Yeah, okay. Whatever. They're gone.
Kind of, like, run towards the sewers, and as you go to the sewers, you find your way to a very large sewer grate with the same silhouette of a mole on it. And you kind of pull it off, and it already smells absolutely horrid. And you, like, who wants to go first? Who wants to go first?
I will.
Not I.
Because I know how to get through.
Yeah, so Tali, you're gonna go down, and you're kind of used to it. You're just kind of understood. You're like, okay, it's this place. It smells, and it's like a very slimy and grotesque sewer. It doesn't look like it's been cleaned in a little while, so it's not pleasant. All of you kind of just slowly follow after him, and it's like, ugh, okay, this place is gross, but. On the ground, if Tali, you are gonna, like, with your expert vision, you're gonna see, like, a trail of blood. It's not giant pools, but more like something was either dragged or dragged itself here. So, that's what you get right now. As you guys continue to move through the sewers, following this trail of blood, Tali, you're gonna realize that this is moving towards where the base is, like the actual base part, and you all get to where you assume is where you're going, because you see it's not a house, it's not quite a tent, it's just like a bunch of makeshift, like, scrap metal pieces and blankets and various things. And I'm going to throw out there that, Bridget, you notice a few parts from your shop that you lost a while ago that you didn't know was here. And from inside this makeshift tent thing, you were going to hear, like, a small, like, whiny sound. Within it's like a shack. Looks like a shack. So what are you guys thinking at this moment?
So this is where you live? Or were you in the boys?
It's like a clubhouse, basically. They're not all boys. As far as, like, we just call them the boys. Living situation.
Yeah, very cozy. Too bad. It does have charm to it.
Charm to it. Bridget just low-key ignores the hazing from Loco and, like, parts the tent open.
Okay, so as you open this tent, you're gonna see one of the unders. You recognize as one of the younger unders, kind of like sobbing, but like there's no one else here. It's just this small little girl, and she's sobbing in very slowly growing pool of her own blood. So
I'm gonna run up to her. And, I'm gonna, like, grab the bottom of my, tank top and rip some off and try to find the injury so I can, like, bandage it.
Roll medicine.
6.
So, you can't find much.
Okay.
On this little girl, although you can tell there's bleeding from somewhere. And little girl's gonna look up, and with a little bit of hope in her eyes, is gonna go, like, it's just, she's gonna be like, Tali, you were supposed to protect us. The others left. They told me you'd find me. You have to. And the light fades from her eyes as she goes limp.
Oh, wait. Okay, wait.
Please, you're joking. You're joking.
Karen, go to your DMs really quick.
God, let me cast Cure Wounds. Hold on.
Oh my god.
Girl, hold every. Hold the horses. Loco, shut up.
I'm not trying to be rude. I do apologize if it comes across as such.
Can I, like, my god, can I, like, hold her?
So, at this point, Irvine, I want to point out, you're still just in a puddle of water somewhere.
You left! No, you left us!
Like, I popped out. I just, like, all of a sudden in there.
So.
This sucks.
Matt's time to show up. Real convenient.
Oh, hi there.
This guy's rolled me 2 natural ones today.
I have high medicine and survival.
Unfortunately, as you rise out of your puddle of water, to everyone else's confusion, you're going to look down and see this little girl, and you're going to feel something within you just, like, shatter, because this little girl reminds you of someone from before, but you can't, it's not her, but it reminds you of her. So, Tali, you are going to feel your eyes just, like, explode with light. I'm gonna need you to roll a constitution saving.
I'm gonna roll to punch you in the face.
Okay, so you fail miserably. The room explodes with light, and you see, like, all of you see light travel down the sewers, out through the sewer grate from earlier, and a sound of a horde of guards now rushing towards the sewer grate, picking it up, and filtering into the room. So, everyone, roll initiative.
Might die. I didn't think you meant the
19.
First fucking episode.
I'm so mad. I'm so angry. I got 21.
19.
Right.
I was. Oh my god.
Okay. Do you want me to write down the initiative order?
Please.
Okay.
Like, I realize you don't.
I got a 15.
What did Cora get?
Cora, would you get
a 3?
I got a 21. So.
Oh, I hate it here. Oh, damn. So now you roll good.
No, I rolled distracted. Good, and then just terrible. I've rolled, like, 3 19s, and then, like, 2 natural ones and a 2. I don't understand. Okay, me first, then Cora. I'm running Tali, and then Cora. Echo, what'd you get?
12.
Okay. Cass, what'd you get?
3.
Okay. Sage, what'd you get?
I got 15.
Okay.
I just failed so hard.
All right, Kieran.
Mm-hmm. They're all gonna go last.
Okay. I must start us off then. Am I allowed to use magic or not?
Yeah, so for this battle specifically, I'm gonna give you advantage on everything because you're feeling a surge of something and you are very upset.
So upset. You turned into Scott Summers, dude.
I Scott Summers them. Okay, I'm gonna do blinding gaze.
One failed. 2 failed.
Blind.
All of them failed. Okay.
Blind. And then I'm gonna do 3 damage to one of them.
Okay.
As my bonus action.
Okay. Okay. Who's next?
Me.
Gonna be Cora.
Marshall's gonna take her 6 shooter and start aiming. We never actually discussed what die the damage roll would be for the 6 shooter, but we'll, I guess, discuss that if I actually land a hit.
Okay, first roll to hit.
Ooh, that's a 19.
That's gonna hit. Yeah, so you're gonna go with a d10.
Oh, damn. Okay. That is a 6.
Okay. Are you going to hit the one that was already attacked, or?
The one that was already attacked.
Okay.
Yeah, it's me. Okay, great. I am going to... I can use magic, right?
Yep.
Okay, lovely. I'm going to go cast Hideous Laughter on one of the guards.
Oh, gosh, Hideous Laughter.
Which guard?
The one closest to me.
Okay, so that is still going to be the one that I attacked already. Yeah. So, Hideous Laughter. What saving throw is that?
That is a Wisdom 13 saving throw.
Damn, they failed again.
Good.
So, status effect. Laughter. Next.
Wow, blind and laughing. Jeez. Yeah.
Okay, I will allow it, but roll for it first.
Of course.
Oh, God.
I'm scared.
18.
That'll do. That one will do for this one. So, Irvine, you're gonna start glowing again.
Oh, great.
It's not that bright. It's this as bright as it was before, but since you are generally near the docks, you're gonna see it looks kind of like a water spout. It just kind of comes up out of the water next to the dock, goes over, and who do you want to hit?
Whoever's at the lowest health. Or okay, highest.
So that's just gonna be one of them. So one of the guards is gonna get snatched, pulled up, and dragged down into the water. You hear a very, violent gurgling, and then nothing.
You're scary as fuck.
Okay.
Oh, no. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So, am I able to use spells, or am I just meleeing it?
You're allowed to use spells here.
I'm gonna stick with a theme, and I'm going to try and cast Thorn Whip on the closest guard to me. 16.
That will not hit. These are some beefy-looking guards. Urge turn. Okay, so one guard is dead. Dead. One guard is, violently laughing. And also, grabbing at his eyes. So while... Actually, hold on. So for this, I'm gonna do... Okay, so as... You watch this one, there's this specific guard that is clawing at his eyes while he's violently laughing. You're gonna see some spots of blood poke out from where he's violently scratching at his eyes. And that's gonna be 2 damage from against that guy just for that. So he can't really do much here. So, guard number 2 is just gonna try to swing at Tali, because blind. Does an 11 or a 9 hit?
Nope.
Okay, so yeah, he is just holding his eyes and swinging at nothing. Guard number 3 is going to try to stab the one who just seemingly controlled the ocean. Does a 3 or an 8 hit?
No.
Yeah, he's still... Yeah, nothing. And then this one is not have disadvantage, and it's gonna try to hit Thorn Whip. Does a 10 hit? Okay, so... they all violently miss, and they suck. Start up initiative order right now. Training?
Okay, I'm gonna go up to the guy who's not blinded or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing glance.
Don't forget you have to explain what each thing does to them.
Okay, I just, stare at him, and my eyes go big, and it's just a melee spell attack. He's not blinded, so I don't have advantage. I'm getting rid of this die. So nothing.
So nothing. You're gonna go up to him and do the gaze thing, and he's gonna That was freaky.
Okay. Marshall's gonna aim her six shooter again and just sort of be like, why does everybody else get to do cool stuff? I just have really good aim or whatever. And then she's gonna take aim again on one of the blinded guy who's...
Well, the one who's blind in his face. Okay.
Yeah. Does that have advantage?
He's blinded. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Oh, okay. That's better. That is a 14.
That will not.
Aww.
So, Marshall, you're gonna, like, take aim and shoot, but the bullet is gonna, like, fly forward, and then I'm gonna take this moment, and you start to glow. You what start to instead glow a, like, very kind of, like, auburnish orange. You don't, like, you can't see where else you might be glowing from, but you're like, okay, the others are glowing from other places in your brain. But you can see that your eyes are kind of glowy. And the bullet is going to stop. Like, you're gonna visibly see as the bullet flies forward, it's just gonna stop moving. And it's going to, like, turn and then fly back at the guy. So if you will roll to hit again.
Okay. That was worse. That does not hit.
Did you roll with advantage?
No, I'll do that.
Yeah,
That was worse.
Okay, so the bullet is still, you're a little confused, so the bullet is still going to fly back at him, but this time it's gonna, like, whiz past your head also.
What the fuck?
So, as it whizzes past your head, your eyes are gonna immediately stop glowing, and you're gonna have a moment of panic and confusion, and onto the next zone in initiative order.
That would be me again. I am going to cast Hideous Laughter again on another guard.
Another guard. Okay, let's make this wisdom save throw. What was the DC again?
13.
Yeah, no, he sucks. Which guard is it? One that's blind? One that's blind? Or
what? The other one that's blind.
Okay, so another one who's blind. Now he's going to fall to the ground laughing, he seems to just be in, like, a euphoria. It's bad. You guys are looking at him like he's crazy because something is up with these people. Why are they laughing like this? That's weird. And yeah, he's now also going to start clawing at his eyes because he's blind and laughing. That is 5 damage.
He's just enjoying the little things in life. I don't blame him. Looks like he's having a fun time.
Yeah. I don't think he's enjoying them.
I mean, he's laughing though. Can you not hear the joyous sounds of laughter that are echoing through this room right now? Doesn't that fill you with such joy and whimsy?
No.
Oh.
No.
Talk about tough customers, am I right? Or am I right? He says this to, like, literally no one in particular.
He just, like...
Why are you giving us sides?
Just, like...
Breaking
like
the wall.
Invisible camera crew. Man, tough crowd. No, like, who are you talking to? I'm talking to Bridget right now. Tough crowd, am I right or am I right?
Kieran, I forgot I had advantage on attack rolls because of being all emotional. Can I re-roll my attack roll for that spell?
Sure.
Thank you.
While you do that, next initiative.
That's a 20! but 20!
Okay, so just, like, how much, what do I roll for, or, like, what do you roll for damage?
I'm rolling damage. It's essentially Mind Sliver. I just renamed it, and it's 3d10 psychic. That's a 14 damage.
And who were you attacking again?
I'll just do... I was attacking the one that wasn't blind. Yeah, just the chillin' guy.
You're gonna notice that this guy that Tally just looked at really hard, is like crumbling. He's not dead, but he looks very worse for wear. Who is next?
Me. We get, I know it's yes, but I just wanted to confirm. We get advantage, right?
Yes. Still.
Okay.
You're still blinded for this.
I just rolled two crit misses in a row. Nothing happened.
Next in initiative order.
Bridget's going to... Who's the guard with, like, the highest HP still?
That's gonna be guard number 3.
Okay. I'm gonna...
They are, in fact, labeled guard 1, guard 2, guard 3.
Me. I'm gonna cast heat metal on guard 3's armor. So that's a 1 and a 7.
Okay. So...
Yeah, super, super good skill we all have.
Yeah, Matt. So now that it is the guard turn, two of them are still visibly laughing. So they're kind of out of it still for this turn, I guess.
It does have stuff, but it doesn't matter. If it's someone who's already blind, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm just going to let it go through. So guard number 3. Who just is, like, breathing really hard because he just got his metal armor, like, heated up dramatically. So he just, like, is going to raise a crossbow and fire directly at the one who just, like, seemingly made the metal in his armor heat up. Bridget does a 17 hit.
Oh god.
Okie dokie.
But well, for heat metal, the person who gets heated their metalified upon has to make a con saving throw or they get disadvantage on attack rolls and ability checks until the start of the next turn.
Okay, never mind. Nothing's gonna happen. They suck.
I'm so good.
They're going to fire the bolt and it's just gonna, like, disintegrate. In the air. It's just gonna, like, melt. Because heat metal. It's just gonna melt. Next one, because there's still one that's here, is going to also raise a crossbow and fire at Bridget. No disadvantage. Does a 11 hit?
Yes. Oh, wait, no, wait, no. I'm 11 to hit.
I was gonna say, no way your AC's that low.
Okay, so...
No, my AC's a 12.
Oh, no squishy.
Okay.
What? I'm in my work uniform!
No!
So, the bolt is going to fire again, and it... Or another bolt's gonna fire, I should say. And it's just gonna kinda fly back and, like, tear part of the blankets that were over the shack. And the other guard is dead. So, next.
Okay, I'm gonna go up to the guy who just tore some of the blankets. I'm gonna do knowing glance again, because... I love inflicting wounds. Is he blind? Is that one of the blind ones? Which guard just tore the blanket?
That was guard number 4. He is not blind.
Okay. 20 damage.
Okay, yeah, he's dead.
He's dead.
Okay, yeah, he's dead. He is going to, like, shrivel under his armor, and it's just gonna be, like, a pile of armor laying there now. You don't know what happened. You don't know where he went or what happened to his body. He just... so, yeah.
Okay. Marshall, once again, a one-trick pony, and she's gonna... Take up her six shooter. But this time she's gonna cast the spell that I sent you, a silver bullet. And at, like, one of her coins disappears, and the bullet that she's using sort of turns this silvery alloy, covers it, and she takes aim at one of the guards.
Okay. Hold on, let me get your spells out again. So, roll to hit first.
Yeah. Is that advantage or no?
Yeah.
Okay. Bruh. That's not gonna hit.
Okay. So, the silver bullet is going to shoot out of your gun and still whiz past.
Oh, damn it.
Can you give me a, arcana check?
Oh, this is gonna be fantastic. That's a 5.
Okay, so you're just gonna try to do whatever you did a second ago, and your eyes are gonna flicker the orange again, and then it's just gonna fizzle out.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over to one of the guards that's already laughing, and I'm going to tap him on the shoulder, and I'm going to cast Suggestion and ask him to stand perfectly still and say we're going to play a little game.
Okay, what's the saving thing for that?
The saving thing for that is a 13 Wisdom saving throw.
He's going to succeed that one.
Damn it!
Never mind, he failed that one.
Yay!
So he's just be like, okay. And just kind of turn to you and smile. And then he's just gonna stand perfectly still, but he's gonna be like, is this like Simon Says?
This is exactly like Simon Says. You're catching on really quick.
Yay!
And yay!
He's standing still. Next, is that the end of your turn?
Yeah, that's the end of my turn. That's all I want to do.
Okay, next.
Are we drugging these guards? Like, Jesus Christ. Does a 16 hit? Does a 17 hit?
Yes.
Yay! Okay. Irvine's gonna do the same thing as before, kind of like reach up and have a little tentacle arm and grab the person with the most health and then just drag them under.
So the tentacle arm is gonna come out, grab guard number 2, who is like still laughing as he is pulled up into the air, and as the tentacle does not pull him into the water, just instead like throws him. It throws the guard towards the shack, and as you see this guard kind of fly towards the shack, you're gonna hear wee, and you're gonna get impaled on one of the things that are sticking out of the shack.
Ooh, what a sight!
Shut up.
Oh, what? Out.
That's Cass.
Okay. I don't know how to follow up that act. What guards are still alive?
There is one that is standing completely still, but like in front of Loco, and then the other one is just kind of standing there. There's 2 left.
Okay, then I don't want to mess with Loco because he scares me. So, I'm just gonna thorn whip the other guard.
Roll to hit. No advantage, because that guy's not...
Rolling to hit. A nat 20.
Okay.
I'm beating his ass.
So, roll for damage, and I guess since it was a critical hit, you just... Roll
fine. That's...
Roll damage?
Okay.
Double damage!
That is 6. Woohoo!
Okay, yeah, so this guard is just gonna be like, he's bleeding. He's bleeding a lot. He looks like he's about to fall over and die. But not quite.
Next is me!
One guard is still laughing, but I'm gonna see if he can escape it. He cannot escape it. So the other guard is just gonna try to like eat something from his. No, he failed. Next,
oh, do anything. He's doing nothing.
I'm gonna go the one that Loco has, and I'm gonna same thing I've been doing. Knowing glance, I'm gonna
stare at him.
His face and stare at him.
Okay, let's get that damage.
Well, it's at 19 to hit. Sorry, 15 damage.
Okay, so yet another guard is going to crumple under your gaze. So as this guard crumples and just kind of disintegrates, the other guard, which is already bleeding, is going to just like fall over. So we are all out of initiative order. Everyone, pack on the back. First battle done. However, problem. You all are going to feel a searing pain.
Oh, like, great.
In your skulls.
What the hell? A migraine, really? Oh,
that's a sensation.
It's like a migraine. So, you all, something is trying to, like, reach into your brain and, like, pick it for information. Although now you hear, like, the searing pain stops. And you hear a little pitter-patter coming from behind you in the shack.
Hello?
Happy.
Howdy. God. Not again.
So welcome out wherever you are. You all get a, like, flash of visions. And you feel your minds kind of intertwine, but it's all of you. And you get a flash of visions of a green cloud kind of washing over the continent. A scarecrow standing over something. A tall tower emanating darkness. A vortex consuming some ships. A boy being cast from his mother, a falling star, you hear a rapturous applause, and you see a plethora of shattered ruins and statues.
Ah.
As you all come to from this vision, you see the blanket from the shack kind of be pulled open by some tiny little hands, which are stained red.
Hello? Anybody there?
Oh my god.
Well, I don't want to mess with that.
Bridget's gonna rush. I don't give it. Bridget's worried. She thinks it's an under. She's gonna go see who it is.
So, as you rush forward, the closer you two get, you're gonna feel, like, the pain kind of return, and it's just kind of, like, rattling your skulls. It's kind of like a pulsating. So you are gonna, like, stop. You're just gonna feel compelled to stop. And the hand is gonna finish pulling back the blanket and kind of, like, not just pull it back, but, like, tear it back. And you're gonna see the little girl who you just watched die.
Motherfucker.
Hell nah.
Her eyes are glowing red instead. She opens her mouth to speak, and instead of the familiar little meek voice, you instead hear a, like, booming, very masculine voice echo out of this once, like, sweet little girl Tally knew. And it instead, says, "Well, well, well. Seems like you have finally all come to."
Who the fuck are you?
So, you all have awoken. Oh, well, you're mere children. No matter. Please, pay me a visit, or I will be forced to use less savory methods. Ta-ta! And you're gonna see the, like, child reach up and grab the leg of the man who just got impaled. His limp body dripping blood onto the ground. And you're just gonna see the man disappear. And the child's body crumple onto the ground.